Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back to On the Case, the podcast. I'm Paula Zahn, and thanks for joining us for Episode 9, No Body, Two Crimes. Tonight, we're on the case in Wilmington, North Carolina, a bustling port city on the Cape Fear River. The close-knit community was drawn into a disturbing mystery when Shannon Rippey Van Newkirk disappeared. Residents and law enforcement rallied together to launch a massive search, but no one could have imagined the dark secrets her final steps would reveal. Monday, April 7th, 2014. It was a cool morning in Wilmington, and Bobby Lewis was worried. She had been trying to find her daughter Shannon, but couldn't reach her. This was totally out of the ordinary. Her daughter always picked up when she called, and the two talked on the phone every day.
At least four times a day, she would call.
Bobby and Shannon were close, spending every other weekend together.
She'd come weekends and spend the time with me, and she'd do the cooking. She liked to cook.
But it had been 3 days since Bobby had spoken with her daughter, and her concern was growing.
The night before her birthday, April 5th, was the night before she disappeared.
Shannon and her mother had made plans for a birthday brunch the next morning.
She said that she'd see us Sunday morning, about 11:45, and then we were going to go to lunch wherever she wanted to go.
But when Shannon's mother and aunt arrived, there was no one home.
We got there about 11:30. Called her and there was no answer, so we waited a while, and then we called two or three more times.
They stood outside the door for more than an hour before leaving.
So we went to lunch, and we kept calling her all through our lunch, and there was no answer. And then we came back, and she still didn't answer, so we left everything out by her door, the balloons and the presents and everything we had for her.
As they left, neither woman could shake their nagging doubts.
All the way home, with the both of us, my sister, she said, "That's not like Shannon." And I said, "Something's wrong."
And panic began to set in when she didn't hear from Shannon later that night.
All that night, I just kept waiting for a call from her. I didn't sleep. I called my sister then about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I said, Bev, we're going back.
When Shannon's anxious family arrived, their hearts sank. They saw the presents and balloons were still outside her door, exactly where they had left them. They knew it was time to call the police. District Attorney Benjamin David.
This creeping dread came upon her, and she called 911 from Shannon's porch, and a patrol officer showed up with the Wilmington Police Department.
Officers arrived moments later to take a report. Given that Shannon was a 54-year-old woman, investigators had to consider the possibility that she had simply left town without telling anyone.
In fact, there were a lot of things that cut in favor of not being panicked at first.
But Shannon's mother was adamant that her daughter would have called and urged police to check the apartment. When law enforcement gained access to Shannon's apartment, the mystery only deepened. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
They found a lived-in home. It was not ransacked, a life undisturbed. It just looked like Shannon disappeared.
There were papers on the table and dishes in the sink, evidence that appeared to indicate Shannon had not intended to be gone long.
We were not able to find her purse, wallet, or cell phone.
There was no signs of struggle. There was every indication that Shannon had left under her own volition and had simply not come back.
Shannon didn't own a car, and her only means of transportation, a scooter, was still chained up outside her home.
That indicated to me that she didn't leave the area.
But where had Shannon gone? A conversation with her best friend Dawn helped start a timeline of her last known movements. The two had met for a drink on Saturday afternoon. It was now the last time anyone had seen Shannon.
I'd purchased a gift certificate for a haircut, a tan, the whole nine for her birthday. And I wanted to see the results. She'd gone to get that done that afternoon. So I wanted to see her while I was on break.
Dawn said Shannon looked terrific and was excited about her plans for the night.
She was so festive. She was so happy. She had planned on having dinner with a friend.
But by the time Dawn was getting ready to leave the bar at 4:45 p.m., Shannon's mood had soured. She seemed concerned that the man she was supposed to have dinner with was standing her up.
She had planned on meeting Steve Mott.
Detectives were intrigued. The story raised questions about whether those dinner plans actually took place. Shannon had always been open with her family about her feelings for Steve Mott.
I know she fancied herself in love with Steve Mott. I think she was happy, but it was never going to work out.
And those closest to Shannon explained why. They saw the romance as one-sided. Steve Mott held all the cards. He was Shannon's love interest and her boss at Mott Landscaping.
A 10-year relationship, kind of off, kind of on. They were able to see who they wanted to. Shannon wanted more than what Steve was willing to give her.
As police added up the details the investigation had uncovered so far, two things stood out. Shannon had plans to see her boss that Saturday night and had disappeared without a trace sometime before brunch the next morning. That meant police had a lot of questions for Shannon's longtime love interest. While police tried to track down Steve Mott for questioning, Shannon's friends and family launched a massive search to find her.
To say that the police and friends and family looked for Shannon would be a small understatement. The search was very extensive. It involved interviews, knock and talks. There was no stone left unturned.
Dozens of colleagues and locals came out to help. The 54-year-old had been a popular member of Wilmington's film community before she took a job in landscape design.
She loved the job when she was in with the movie people, but she also loved the landscaping. And she was really into the green roofs that they were building around Wilmington. She laid sod, she did everything. She was a worker.
But despite Shannon's dedication and loyalty to the company, there was one person who chose not to help look for Shannon, her boss and lover, Steve Mott. His curious choice to not get involved with the search raised red flags with police investigating the crime. It was odd that someone who had an intimate relationship with Shannon for more than 10 years didn't take part in the search, and those closest to Shannon felt they knew why. They believed he may have been responsible for her disappearance. Shannon's brother, Sean Dayton.
I think a lot of us suspected that, yeah.
Shannon's friend, Don Hubbard.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was Steve Mott, because that's the last thing I knew that she'd had plans with Steve. He was a major part of her life.
Shannon's mother was particularly upset that the man her daughter had been romantically involved with for more than a decade wouldn't even take her call.
I called him that Monday morning and got his brother on the phone and said, has Steve seen Shannon? And I heard him say, Steve, do you know where Shannon is? And he said, no, I don't. I heard him.
But Steve refused to come to the phone himself.
The brother hung up.
For Bobby, the cold and uncaring reaction was telling.
It just made me know that he really didn't care about her, for sure.
And police agreed. They brought Mott in for a formal interview.
I see her about once a week. She'll come over and stay. And she would like to have done it more, but just kind of kept her at arm's length.
It was romantic and intimate.
Yeah, for over 10 years.
I think Mott, it's fair to say, was more casual about their relationship than Shannon was. I called it unrequited love.
But authorities found Mott's lack of concern about what might have happened to Shannon far more troubling.
Where do you think she is?
I haven't got a clue. I think something bad has happened to her.
Police were suspicious. Why was Steve Mott so confident that something bad had happened to Shannon? Could it be that he knew more than he was saying?
In those types of investigations, you always look at the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the love interest to make sure there wasn't some type of argument or heat of passion type crime.
Investigators had no choice but to hone in on the suspicious boyfriend.
Mott was Shannon's love interest as well as her employer, and you kind of mix the two together, it could have a potential for a volatile situation.
During the interview, Mott acknowledged that Shannon had asked about getting together to celebrate her birthday. Steve Mott.
She wanted to come over. And I wanted to know if it would be a good day, and I said, probably not.
To this day, Mott maintained that the plans to take Shannon out that night were never confirmed.
She had asked to be with me that evening, and I was working on a boat motor, so I wasn't able to get with her. And she was out just visiting her friends and things instead.
But Mott did admit he had spoken with Shannon around 6 p.m. that night.
It was starting to get dark, and I called her up to see how her birthday was going. She said she was going to have a slow night and was going to have lunch with her mother on Sunday.
Detective Carlos Lamberty.
The last time that Steve Mott said he had contact with Shannon was by phone on Saturday. He said that they spoke about Shannon being excited about her birthday brunch with her mother on the next day, Sunday.
District Attorney Benjamin David.
The conversation they had was, why don't you come back to my place? And she said, no, we've had that opportunity already. I'm going to call it a night and we'll get in touch maybe tomorrow.
Shannon told him that she was just going to stay in and have a slow night.
Police were skeptical of Mott's account.
He was blowing her off the day of her birthday, and he didn't have any alibi. Those things allowed us to say, we need to be focused on Steve Mott.
In investigators' eyes, Steve Mott was checking a lot of boxes that put him at the top of their suspect list.
I didn't like that he didn't help with the search party. The suspects are the ones that they know they don't have to look because they know where they are, or they just don't care because they just killed somebody.
The mystery deepens after this.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Shannon's brother, Sean, continued to intensify his efforts to help police find the clue that would lead them to his sister. He was convinced that Shannon had met with foul play.
After 2 or 3 days, I mean, Shannon's not one to not get in touch. If she decided she's going to go off with a friend 2 or 3 days later, she's definitely going to call my mom. Something was wrong when she wasn't responding.
Shannon's mother, Bobby Lewis.
Sean went on Facebook and got a list of names of her friends, and about 50 people gathered where Shannon lived. And they put out posters, and people took them, put them in every window in Wilmington, and knocked on doors, showed her picture.
Meanwhile, investigators went back to the Husk, the bar where Shannon had last been seen. Police were able to obtain surveillance video from that afternoon. When investigators studied the footage from that day, they saw Shannon entering the bar alone at approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
She's wearing a white V-neck blouse, blue jeans, sandals, and she had just got her hair done and a spray tan.
The video confirmed Don Hubbard's story, but police were frustrated to find that the camera did not capture the 54-year-old when she left the bar.
There's a side door to the Husk that doesn't have video, so I could see her come into the bar, but I couldn't see her exit because she took the side door.
The question of who Shannon had left with puzzled police, and they believed that her boss, Steve Mott, knew the answer. Steve Mott.
I was a logical suspect. There was an awful lot of circumstantial evidence that led to me.
The fact that Mott didn't have an airtight alibi only added to the skepticism he faced in the community.
I'm a bachelor, me and my dog. So got a lot of bad publicity on it. People wrote letters to the editor about why aren't they looking at Steve Mott.
But Mott continued to deny any role in Shannon's disappearance. He explained it was those same suspicions that kept him from joining the search parties her family assembled.
I didn't go on any of the searching trips because I was being accused. I didn't want to say it, look over there or don't look over there. I thought I better just stay away.
While their attention remained focused on Mott, investigators wondered if Shannon's cell phone logs might reveal evidence about who she met that night. When they studied the phone logs, it helped them piece together Shannon's movements on the night she disappeared.
So those records told me that she had made some phone calls in the downtown area. We don't know specifically where she made those phone calls from, but we just know that there's approximation in the downtown of Wilmington.
District Attorney Benjamin David.
She had talked to four or five different people, and I think it was in an attempt to stay out and have a good time.
It turned out that Steve Mott wasn't the only one who had spoken with Shannon the night she had vanished. She had also talked with a few of her friends. None of the calls she made lasted more than 7 minutes, and the people Shannon spoke with didn't recall anything unusual about their conversations.
She did not express any concern. Shannon told the same story, that she had just had a spa treatment, that she was feeling good.
In fact, investigators learned that she told her friends she wasn't ready to end her birthday celebration.
Shannon was all dressed up. She had a new haircut and a beautiful tan, and I don't think wanted to call it a night yet.
Then police reached the final call Shannon made. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
The last phone call she made was at 5:50 p.m., hitting on a downtown tower.
The phone call had been brief.
About 2 to 3 minutes.
When investigators traced the call, they determined that the phone belonged to a friend of Shannon.
The last phone number she called was to James Bradley.
James Bradley was a coworker of Shannon's from Mott's Lumber, and the two were friendly. The 51-year-old had recently moved to Wilmington and lived just 10 minutes south of the downtown area. Police tracked down Bradley at home.
We went and knocked on his door. He let us in, and we explained to him that we were from the police department and we were investigating the missing persons case of Shannon Rippey Van Newkirk.
Bradley seemed surprised. He said he had no idea that the police were even looking for his friend.
Initially, when we talked to him 3 days after she had been reported missing, he did not know she had been missing. He appeared to be despondent and was very concerned, and he wanted to help.
Bradley told police he hadn't seen Shannon since Thursday.
He said that 2 days before she goes missing, they were working at this residence in downtown Wilmington that has a rooftop garden on it, and they had been working there together that day. And he said that that was the last time they had seen each other.
Bradley said he had spoken with Shannon about work on Saturday, but he didn't mention the 550 call. Police asked Shannon's friends about her relationship with her coworker. Shannon's friend, Don Hubbard.
He would give her rides to work, and they would hang out occasionally after work, a drink here and there. She never said anything negative. I didn't know him well enough to have a feeling one way or the other.
Investigators dug deeper into Shannon's phone records. They plotted out the GPS coordinates of cell tower communications with her phone. The phone records served as a roadmap for investigators, showing them where Shannon was physically located the night she disappeared.
It was a real gift provided by the FBI. They do something called a CAST report, which basically is able to geolocate a phone and show its movements.
The FBI had focused on a two-hour window between 5 and 7 p.m.
She was in the downtown area, consistent with the Husk Bar. And later on that evening, she was moving in a southbound direction.
The FBI report showed police more than just the direction of Shannon's movements. They were also able to calculate the speed at which she had been traveling between towers.
I could see that she's not walking because of the time, kind of back to back when those phone calls are made. So I know that she's traveling in a vehicle.
But Shannon couldn't drive. So who was she in the car with?
GPS coordinates indicated that she was going towards New Hanover Regional Medical Center on 17th. It then remains there for a couple of hours, and then the phone goes dead. And that's the last time we're able to put Shannon's phone on this planet, let alone Shannon.
Shannon's phone stopped sending a signal at 7 p.m. and never came back online. Police believed whoever she was with at that moment was likely responsible for her disappearance. And although Shannon's love interest, Steve Mott, had denied seeing her that night, police checked his cell phone records to see if he had been lying. The results were surprising. District Attorney Benjamin David.
Cell phone records backed up what he was saying, and we were convinced through looking at his movements that he was not involved in her disappearance. She was going towards the hospital, which is in the southern part of our county. So they're literally going in opposite directions.
Police already knew that it couldn't have been Shannon behind the wheel that Saturday night. The 54-year-old did not own a car and couldn't drive. But it was the phone records of Shannon's work colleague, James Bradley, that refocused the investigation. On Saturday evening, his cell phone and Shannon's were pinging off the same cell tower near the Husk Bar in downtown Wilmington. But Bradley never told law enforcement that he had been downtown that night. The glaring omission led investigators to a troubling conclusion. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
He was hiding something.
And investigators came up with an innovative plan to find out if that hunch was right. They pulled video from all the city's traffic cameras looking for a clue.
I just was thinking to myself, what route would I take if I was James Bradley to pick up Shannon and hit those cameras? There's several traffic and engineering cameras in Wilmington, and I just reviewed them all. I was really hoping I would see his truck.
And their hard work paid off. Detective Lamberty discovered video of Bradley's red truck heading downtown that evening.
James Bradley drives a distinctive red Blazer two-door. And you can see a red Blazer at 6:03 p.m. on the day we last see Shannon.
Based on the timestamp and the cell phone record analysis, Detective Lamberty suspected that Bradley had been on his way to pick up Shannon at the Husk Bar. Additional stoplight cameras told more of the story.
He hit another traffic camera just a couple minutes later, 6:07 or so, and then he turns into a quick stop gas station.
Detectives raced to the quick stop and discovered the store had its own surveillance cameras.
And that's where I saw James Bradley in the store.
Bradley can be seen buying beer and a pack of cigarettes.
He's wearing a striped shirt, glasses, and hat.
But it was the cameras outside the store that captured the most important images.
When I looked at the outside camera, I could see a figure wearing a white blouse in the passenger seat.
Police were confident the woman in the video was Shannon.
Shannon never got out, but you can see her distinctive white shirt with a V-neck in the passenger seat.
The white V-neck shirt matched what Shannon had been seen wearing earlier when surveillance video captured her entering the Husk Bar. Investigators were stunned.
We were not only contradicting Bradley's story that they hadn't seen each other, but we were now putting them together for her last hours.
Bradley's truck was picked up on camera one last time before both cell phones stopped transmitting GPS coordinates.
About 6:13, there's another camera that shows him on 17th Street in Wilmington, making a right-hand turn in the area of where his apartment was.
Approximately 45 minutes later, both Shannon's and Bradley's cell phones are shut down.
His phone is cut off from transmitting GPS coordinates for approximately 8 hours, Saturday night.
Investigators who had been analyzing Shannon's cell phone records were convinced that it was no coincidence that her phone went dead at the same time that night. James Bradley was clearly in the crosshairs of their investigation.
In the 2 months that we looked at Shannon's records, she never turned off her cell phone. So we found that highly relevant that at the very moment that she's with Bradley and something bad is happening, his phone is turned off and hers goes dead.
The final pieces of the puzzle fall into place after this.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Authorities believe there was only one reason Bradley had turned off his phone. He was responsible for Shannon's disappearance. Now the question was whether they could prove it. Detectives needed to interview Bradley again. This time, they brought him to the station to ask him some difficult questions. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
When we started questioning him about Shannon, where's she at? What'd you do with her? He was hunched down. He was rocking in his seat. He was sweating profusely. He had his hands together like he was praying. And I really thought at that moment that he'd tell us what happened.
Sensing that officers had new evidence, Bradley changed his story about where he had been that night.
He gave another account of what happened with Shannon, and that he did pick her up. And then he said that she wanted to spend some time with someone because it was her birthday, and that she was upset that Stephen Mott stood her up.
Bradley told police that shortly after meeting up with Shannon, the two had a heated argument near Wilmington's Greenfield Lake Park.
She had hopped out his truck, and he didn't go after her, chase her, because he didn't want to look like a black man chasing a white woman.
I don't understand why you told us lies from the beginning.
I was shocked. Again, this whole thing's been shocking.
She jumps out of your truck on Saturday night in a dark park, and you don't try to call her back? Dad, I'm calling bullshit on that, James.
And making Bradley's story even more suspicious was the fact that police were unable to corroborate his account of his whereabouts that night.
We didn't believe his account, not one bit. We'd found nothing.
And video cameras in the area also contradicted Bradley's story.
There was a clinic that had video surveillance of the very spot where he said she got out. She's nowhere on it. He's nowhere on it. He's lying again.
Investigators continued to turn up the pressure on Bradley. But Bradley maintained he had no role in Shannon's disappearance.
You tell us what the hell happened to her.
I don't know where she's at. I honestly don't know where Shannon's at. I don't know what has happened to her.
I've never seen anybody look as guilty as you look who wasn't guilty.
Police immediately searched Bradley's home, truck, and property, but they didn't reveal anything tying him to Shannon's disappearance. But police found out that he had been desperately trying to cover his tracks.
We were surveilling him because we wanted to see what he was up to. He washed his truck on three different occasions, for instance. He had a rug doctor that was in the apartment that when we searched it, we knew he had meticulously cleaned the place.
Investigators then found out over the various properties Bradley had access to while working for Mott Landscaping. And in a remote location, they made a shocking discovery.
Just beyond that tree line, we found a disturbance in the ground. The ground's top layer was different color than the others around it. And there was a tree stump or a branch that was kind of like sitting on top of it. When he stepped on it, you could smell the odor of decomposition.
Police dug down just a few feet before they hit something.
It was a bag in the ground. It still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I picked it up, and in the bag was a body.
Police were confident they had found Shannon Rippey Van Newkirk buried in trash bags in a desolate field more than 20 miles away from the bar where she had last been seen. Detective Carlos Lamberty.
There was a woman in there in a fetal position, naked, bound with duct tape. I couldn't believe it at all. You want to talk about a needle in a haystack? We literally found a person buried in trash bags in a county away from us in a field.
Detective Carlos Lamberty was certain there was only one person who could have been responsible, James Bradley. Detectives believed they had compelling evidence, but was it enough to secure a conviction?
We conferred with the district attorney's office, explained to him what we had as far as the lies, the video, and that we now had just found a body on property that Bradley had access to that he worked at.
In fact, police later learned that Bradley was the only person with the combination to the lock on the gate to the property. Bradley was arrested minutes later. District Attorney Benjamin David.
Right when that body is found, he was arrested for the first-degree murder of Shannon Rippey Van Newkirk.
At police headquarters, Bradley would not acknowledge any involvement.
We charge you with murder today, James.
Yeah. You guys destroyed my whole life.
And pictures of the body police found in the shallow grave led to Bradley asking for an attorney.
I hope you're real happy with that piece of shit. That's what she looks like now.
He's looking down at this picture, smirks. He doesn't say, "You found my friend," or anything like that.
Following his arrest, detectives carefully examined James Bradley's criminal history, and they discovered that this wasn't the first time he had been charged with a brutal crime. They were stunned to learn that in 1988, he had been convicted of the murder of his 8-year-old stepdaughter, Ivy Gibson.
He had murdered a child. He not only choked out the life of a beautiful little child, but he threw her away like trash into a dumpster.
Police noted that Bradley's unthinkable crime had disturbing parallels to the case they were now investigating. He had tried to cover up Ivy's murder by wrapping the young girl's body in trash bags before disposing of it. District Attorney Benjamin David.
He fabricated a crime scene and pretended to be a grieving parent for the next 48 hours, sleeping right next to her mother the whole time.
Even the seasoned investigators working Shannon's homicide case were shocked by the disturbing details of the crime.
When we got that case file and saw everything that was there, the elaborate way in which he was able to throw investigators off the trail of that case and how cold-blooded it was, we knew that this was a man who was capable of anything without any remorse whatsoever.
Not only did it appear Bradley was an extremely dangerous individual, he was also a compulsive liar.
He's a man who never took responsibility for that crime, even though he pled guilty to it.
Bradley served 25 years behind bars for the murder of his stepdaughter. After his release, he started a new life while hiding the true nature of his prior crime.
He was telling everybody that he had been in prison for killing his wife's lover, not a child. He had said that to Steve Mott. He said that to the other women he was trying to date. That was his cover story for why he was off the grid for a quarter of a century.
It seemed like police now had all the evidence they needed to send Bradley back to prison. But the case was about to take another stunning turn when medical examiner Karen Kelly and Detective Carlos Lamberty began Shannon's autopsy. Medical examiner Dr. Karen Kelly.
When we removed her from the bag, immediately we were like, this is not a 54-year-old person. This is a young person. And as we brought her out of the bag and the back of her neck was exposed, it was obvious that there were tattoos. And I said, did Shannon have tattoos?
I immediately told the doctor that that's not Shannon.
This case was a first for me in that we were initially told it was one person, and it turned out not to be that person.
But within seconds, Lamberty realized that he actually knew the identity of the victim.
Alicia Tucker. The reason why I knew it was Alicia Tucker because that was my missing persons investigation several months back.
33-year-old Alicia Tucker had vanished a year before Shannon. And it didn't take long for police to connect her to James Bradley. Detective Lamberty was certain that Bradley was the only person linked to Alicia who could have buried her body on the remote property where it had been found.
I knew that he was responsible. This man's killed Shannon Rippey and he's killed Alicia Tucker. This man's killed what I believe now three or more people, to include Ivy Gibson in 1988. Two women now. We have a serial killer on our hands.
But believing it and having the evidence to prove that Bradley had murdered both women were two different things. District Attorney Ben David will never forget the phone call when he was told that Bradley may have been charged with the murder of the wrong woman.
I received a call from the chief of police, and he said, "Ben, we're at the autopsy. Are you sitting down? It's not Shannon. We have another victim."
Immediately, he realized his strong case against James Bradley was suddenly in jeopardy.
We had troubles at that point because we had a murder case without a body and a body without a murder case. It was one of the most unusual things I've seen in 20 years. I've never had a case that took a turn like this. We had a real legal riddle on our hands at that point.
And an emotional nightmare as well. Investigators still had to break the devastating news to both families. Shannon's mother, Bobby Lewis.
My sister and I were on our way to the funeral parlor that day to make arrangements. The phone rang. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't Shannon. It was like starting it all over again.
Shannon's brother, Sean Dayton.
You think it's over and then it's not. And, you know, one thing after another.
District Attorney Ben David ultimately decided there was enough evidence to move forward with murder charges against Bradley in Shannon's case. But winning a conviction wouldn't be easy.
We had a strong circumstantial case with the cell phone records and with the video evidence and with his lies. But now that we didn't have Shannon, we knew we had a real struggle in front of us.
In an attempt to bring justice to all of Bradley's victims, prosecutors offered him a plea deal.
I approached his attorneys and made him this offer. Plead guilty to Alicia's murder and to Shannon's. You'll spend the rest of your life in prison, but we'll take the death penalty off the table. He refused to do that.
Eventually, Bradley was tried separately for both brutal crimes. The first trial was for the murder of Shannon Rippey Van Newkirk. It opened on June 12, 2017. While prosecutors had no body, no murder weapon, no witnesses, and no physical evidence tying him to the crime scene, they were still confident that they could convince a jury that Bradley was guilty.
District Attorney Benjamin David.
Because we were going to be able to show the bigger picture. We weren't just going to focus on this one crime. We were going to play a game of It's Your Life, James Bradley. We were going to show this jury three different disappearances, an established modus operandi, a pattern, a scheme, a person who leads women into what I called the Bermuda Triangle of Death, places where they can scream and no one can hear them.
Prosecutors presented the cell phone records, surveillance video, and interrogation footage that showed how Bradley repeatedly lied to investigators.
The fact that we weren't able to find fingerprints, hair and fiber, DNA, suggests to me that he most likely killed her through a bloodless act like choking her or using some kind of ligature like he did with Ivy Gibson.
Investigators believe that the motive for the crime was jealousy. Bradley had expressed feelings for Shannon, and when she rejected him, he flew into a rage. Bradley's behavior in the courtroom only made it more difficult for Shannon's family. Shannon's brother, Sean Dayton.
It's like he thought he was a movie star up there. He was enjoying himself.
In the end, the jury found Bradley guilty of second-degree murder. He was sentenced to 33 years in prison.
For Shannon's family, the punishment did not fit the crime. Shannon's mother, Bobby Lewis.
When he didn't get the death sentence, I mean, three murders. Well, I thought he deserved it. And I didn't think justice was served.
And Bobby remains tormented by another critical unanswered question. Where is Shannon's body? It's a mystery police are still trying to solve.
The goal has always been to bring Shannon home.
Detective Carlos Lamberty.
I really hope one day that we're able to find Shannon's remains. I hope one day we'll be able to give closure in her family.
While the commitment of detectives like Carlos Lamberty is comforting for Shannon's loved ones, their memories of what they lost will haunt them forever.
The worst part's at night, if I wake up in the night and I think, what was her last hour like? It's just an ongoing nightmare. It's something I'll never get over. I know some people are going to wonder why I did this. But to me, it's keeping her memory alive. A lot of people really love her.
In 2019, James Bradley was tried for the murder of Alicia Tucker. He was found guilty and received a life sentence. Police are still considering the possibility that Bradley was involved in other unsolved cases in the area. Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to follow, rate, and review. And if you want more information on today's case, visit facebook.com/paulazanofficial or just click the link in the episode description. I'm Paula Zahn. Please join us again next Wednesday when we're back on the case, the podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.